Wendy.
I was born a poor black child.
It's been 2 days to say that.
One of our sayings is, it's the cans! It's the cans!
It's the cans?
It's the cans!
It's in that movie, but I don't remember it. Oh, like, yeah. Three of them,
anyway. She comes a long way from black to where she gets to.
I was a boisterous, energetic, and sweet and delightful child. Energy anyways. Born into a world where my parents were doing their level best to live the roles that they had, you know, written in their minds for themselves. Husband and wife and father and mother. And so they took all their natural energy and compressed it into these roles of what those roles should be. And so there was no truth in my childhood. And so what I learned to do was create a role for myself to get love. And I thought that the way to do that was to be book smart. You know, and so I could get good grades. That was pretty effortless for me. And then I thought that my only value in the world was being book smart. And then when I was 17 or 16 or 17 and I was on acid one day, I had this experience. The truth, right? Of the oneness of the universe, which was my first memory of experience actual truth.
Beyond what your parents think. Yeah. Nice.
I mean real truth.
Yeah.
Is, you know, we are all one. That whole, and this morning when you were talking about the inner light point, I was like, oh, my inner light point got blown open when I was on acid.
And that's what acid does. It really,
it's
a beta blocker. It's a beta blocker, which allows the pineal gland to actually, you know, have a lot more, you know, control in the vision. So nice.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then I sort of started a quest of how do I find that again in real life without the drugs? And,
how old were you?
17. 16, maybe. Okay. I was 17.
Enough to make good choices about drugs.
Well, you know, they were part of my inquiry. you know, I looked in a multitude of places. And then one day, 40 years later, I was doing a meditation and I had another experience of realizing that my true value wasn't in my mind. That I'm as valuable as any other creature that's alive on the planet. I was like, wow, this is what Bruce has been talking about all this time. And I was like, oh, this is the way to, you know, like we are all one. And it wasn't as full as when during my acid trip, but it was, I felt like another truth, or the truth. And so then, that's the fire I've been feeding. The spark I've been feeding, trying to build the fire out of. And this is why I'm so passionate about people learning to love themselves and value themselves. Which isn't my big why. That's that I have written down.
What did you write down?
The one that you told me is I help people see the humor and truth in their own chaos. The end.
Which
and here we are today.
Which I'll still stick with as a truth.
I'm not saying it's not true. That's my story.
Okay, so.
At the moment.
So it's hard. It's hard to craft your own story just because you're so close to it. You came into a world as playful, inquisitive, smart, energetic child, and you ran into two parents that were not only controlling but incredibly limited in their scope of the world. And one of the things they believed was that if you're smart, smart is book smart. And so rather than being high energy and all this, I focus my energy into being book smart in school, yes? That sounded like, what was your story?
I don't think that's where I focus my energy. I don't think I ever focus my energy in my life. But I succeeded in school so my parents would leave me alone.
Right.
But it wasn't, hard, though.
That was the story you just told. So what's the real story?
What do you mean? Say it again.
What did you do? How did you modify yourself from that playful child to then start? What's the next level? Because your big Y sounds like it's all about truth.
Yeah.
And the truth is, truth is that life's incredibly fun and unified. And everybody's got a place. Mm-hmm. Everybody got a place at the table. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And you realize that twice in your life, and the second time you realized that you had to teach it, you had to share it, you had to be that. The first time it just woke you up and started you searching for why is that true? And the second time you realize that you have to. It's like now I have to deliver this message. This is what I deliver.
That's how I have to live.
And the way I did that. So you had no sense of humor, no nothing all through school.
No, I hung out with people who were really funny, but I was not the funny one. I had this friend, Carolyn McKinney, she could tell a joke like nobody's business. And I tried and tried and tried. I didn't have the rhythm.
Try to tell a joke.
It's true.
But you didn't need, but the fact that you hung out with funny people meant that you enjoyed funny people, right?
Yeah. I mean, I totally admired her. I tried and tried and tried.
So, unlike you tried to be, like your parents wanted you to be.
No. Yeah,
there's a piece of not knowing who your own, so we're trying to pull this thread together, right?
Yeah.
You know that right now, the way you deliver your humor and your sometimes filleting sarcasm.
Me? What?
That gets right to the point of something and makes it actually enjoyable for the person who you're speaking to sort of see themselves in a new light, in a more unified light. That has been there since the beginning. So you want to really be watching and looking, where was it sneaking out? When was it hidden and how was it hidden? So that's your story. The story isn't that I did this and I did that and I did this and I did that. That's your story. It's true that you did all those things, but the big why story is about recognizing that there's this core quality within me, that fun, playful, silly, a precocious child, that was really interested in a lot of things, came to a world with parents that weren't interested in anything other than just making money and getting by, or whatever they were. I don't know what they were. You didn't really explain your parents, but it's fine. But or they were just controlling. came into a world of totally control freak parents, very rigid control freak parents. There was a bunch of rules, and it didn't matter whether they were right or wrong. And so I had to play along, I played along, I tried to fit myself into that world, but it never really worked because my favorite friend was the funniest one, and I didn't know why I liked her so much, right? So you tell that story, right? Because I didn't even know why, but I just love funny people. I always found myself with funny people, but I never thought I was very funny, because I was brought up that there's a right way to do things, wrong way to do things, but somehow that was it. Later on in my life, I found through drugs in high school, and then what else did you do? And later in your 30s, you just pick one or two things that you did.
I studied psychology, and then I started doing different seminars, self-help seminars.
Self-help. So studying self-help and energy work, I started realizing that a lot of what I thought was the only way to do things, there's a lot of other ways to do it. There's a lot more connection with the people. And, I had a direct realization that first of all, we're all one and we're all important. We're all individuals. We're both all individuals that have an important job, and we're all one in the universe. I had this direct experience of that. And it made me laugh, if it did. Right? It made me sort of like realize that life's way too short to be so damn serious and so controlled. And so I began the process of learning things that freed me from that jail of my own brain that told me that there was a right way and a wrong way to do things. And I realized that there's no right way or wrong way to do things unless you're having fun doing it. That's why I'm so passionate about helping people see the truth in their life, the joy of being who they are, and being able to laugh through life rather than be so stuck and rigid and controlled. So you're talking about your whole life, because everything in your life has pointed to one thing. It's like always points to that thing. And I think you've got your big why, that piece where you use your humor to your all everything you've learned goes. A good joke, like you said, I could never tell a good joke because you didn't know who you were. Okay, and a good joke is crafted, but a great joke emerges out of the person, right? And so it's crafted through a lifetime. So when you've got a great, when you've got an awareness inside of you of all these different things, this connection to people, it's like then when you tell a joke, you're connecting them back to that universal oneness. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can I tell you my bowl experience this morning?
Your what?
My bowl experience.
Yes, but I don't want to miss these guys. So
it's relevant.
Time wise.
It's 1:12.
It's short.
You're
okay.
And
good.
Relevant. When the inner light bowl was playing, I was having my ears were hurting.
Yep.
And then I was getting a headache, and then somebody's phone rang, and I was like, oh, somebody's calling me. That's it. Carry on.
Nice.
Listening.
Nice. No, that's totally how it goes. That's perfect.